Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. All right, happy hump day, everybody. We made it to the middle of another week. New York, we got hit with snow, and I believe a few of our other eastern friends got some snow, too. Just when you thought it was over, right? Everybody got all comfortable with that summer, Indian summer spring day, and I told you, it's not over yet. Okay, thanking God for another day of being here. Going to give our shout-outs to Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7, Kiss FM Radio in New York, currently spinning his magic on iSoulRadio.com every Saturday from 7 to 10 p.m. and again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he's graced in New York City with the best of live R&B events. For those of you that have had the privilege of being at any one of Barry's events, you know that Barry does not disappoint. Okay, to my team. Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, Monster Miles, DJ Domrick, Rodney Williams, and of course, last but certainly not least, that wonderful active panelist and a wonderful activist out there in Toledo, Ohio, Mr. Deacon Zeddy Williams. Thank you very much, Deacon, for all that you do outside in the community and on the air and for this community as well. To my social media guys, hi to the On The Edge Listeners Lounge. You guys have been fantastic with the pre-broadcast questions today as well as since this group got started. I want to thank you all very much. And if I'm saying thank you to you, I have to go over to Miss Linda Miller because she is one of the people that has helped orchestrate a lot of the community on social media to get involved with some very important topics, and also have been active in my pre-broadcast discussions. So to Linda Miller and the Black Love and Conversations group, to Mark and the Real World Black News and Discussions group, the Black History Suppressed group, thank you very much. To Marvin Young with the Capitalist N group. Also, you guys have been joining in on the pre-broadcast topic questions and on this panel quite often, and I appreciate all of you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have made it to 22,357 people in just that quickly overnight. So I want to let all of you know that whoever's out there in the archives listening in on the live stream, even though you're not here live on the air, you guys are listening, and I appreciate it more than you can imagine. We are on this train together to try to make a difference, and those of us that are listening know that we have things to do. So tonight, no exception to all of our very deep on-the-edge topics. And today I want to tackle the subject, hashtag discrimination. Okay, is the media fueling the fires of hate? What that is going to be touching on is this. Many of our African-American athletes or anything that's in the minority categorization, meaning anything that's not Caucasian, has been in the media. And usually, more often than not, it's not on the good side of the media. Even though that's the case, let's say this. Even when they are in doing a good story on an African-American athlete or other celebrity, usually it's never without somebody being constantly reminded of something that this person did that could have been years ago. And I'm going to bring up a few examples throughout the broadcast. But my main focus or motivation for tonight's topic was this. Everybody's been buzzing and hoopla all in the media about Jason Collins, the NBA player that the Brooklyn Nets just signed. Why? Not because he was someone that has good stats, not because he's proven himself to be a good player on the field, but because, wait for it, he just outed himself as an openly gay homosexual man. all that you see when you Google this man's name never is NBA player. It starts off every single time, no matter which source is writing it, no matter which magazine it's coming from, no matter which digital media it's coming from, no matter which TV station, sportscast program it's coming from, openly gay NBA player or openly gay Jason Collins, openly gay. What is the big deal? How many other things do we have to see? Now, on the other end of that spectrum, let's speak about something else that shows how our community of athletes and success icons are being treated in the media, and that is Raymond Felton. Okay, all of you are probably thinking, oh, well, yeah, she's a Knicks fan, so she's going to have a problem with this. Absolutely right. Not because I'm a Knicks fan, but because it just so happens that as stupid as Raymond Felton was, because, yes, Raymond, you were stupid. Not one story about this man's arrest did not end with some association or link or connection to Plaxico Burress and his accidental shooting of himself 5 years ago. So the media is consistently trying to play up. They don't want anyone to forget or allow these people to move on with their lives from a stupid mistake or a tragic event or something. Meanwhile, over in let's see, better land, quote, end quote, there's a whole heap of people that are media regulars doing things that are a menace to society, if not an outright danger to a society. And yet their infractions get mentioned in the newspapers either as a quick passing opening sentence or as something to just add on to their notoriety. That's not fair. Instead of the person being honored in an honorable article or the person's actual crime or infraction being the focus, they're focusing, I should say, they're not focusing on the crime, they're focusing on the discrimination parts or the flaws with this person, not what the actual issue is. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, and I want to hear your thoughts on the matter. So, with that being said, let's go out with something. And I like this song because it's not just a cool beat, but this song also is an empowering song for those that have been through the ringer and need a little more, let's say, encouragement, even from people you don't know. So here's Kelly Clarkson with Stronger. Be back in 4.5 minutes after this and a word from our sponsors. Keep it locked with Katie. Be right back.
You know the bed feels warmer. Stronger, stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely.
doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, tonight's topic is hashtag discrimination. Is the media fueling the fires of hate? Now, we are touching on the way that the media promotes or presents non-Caucasian persons in the media, okay? Let's speak about the main focus tonight of, I should say my main motivation tonight, and guys, I'm with a really big headache, so you guys bear with me. Jason Collins, okay, NBA player, do pretty well, his stats are pretty good, he's a good player on the field for his team, on the courts for his team, and the biggest news that they keep highlighting when they put out, they meaning the media, when he's presented, when you Google him, when you hear about him on the live sportscast shows, when you hear about him at ESPN on the commercials and whatever it is, all you're hearing or seeing or reading is openly gay player, then NBA player, or then his name, openly gay NBA player. Jason Collins, the man is an NBA player. Whether you agree with his lifestyle, his orientation, whatever, that should not be what's the front page news. So my question on that one before I get to the next example is this. We all expect the media to be grimy about how they get their story, their details, and we all expect them to scrape and scrounge and bottom feed if they have to get the big story. Is this just another media tactic, or is this yet another attack on degradation, on discrimination, on highlighting everything that we find upsetting, different, we're ignorant to, things that might bring a big controversy up on the table, something to talk about at the bar, something to talk about amongst your friends, the gym. Is this something that the media is doing simply as an attention grabber, or is it yet another example of what it is that we suffer throughout this society? The other thing is, and this isn't a question, it's my viewpoint is, by consistently and continuously bringing that up or keeping that on the front page to those people who are out there that have hate for this, for these differences, this is going to do nothing but continue to fuel that rage or whatever blockages there is. It's taking away from the fact that the man is a skilled player. Over to Raymond Felton. The man is clearly an idiot to make such a choice as to have a high-powered handgun in his home. Okay? Clearly doing stupid things on human error, not thinking about status, thinking more about his own life. Why he would need to have the brandishing of a high-powered handgun to argue with his wife is beyond me. It's not in my backyard, but however, it affects the world. But why would the media, or what tactical sense or strategy would the media have by bringing up Plaxico Burress for something that he's not only dealt with physically, dealt with mentally, dealt with professionally, and dealt with legally 5 years ago, have anything to do with somebody who's not only maybe not even a friend of his, but the only thing they share is a common group of or a common agency, which is in the athletic field. He's not even in the same sport. Just so happens, coincidentally, that Plaxico is also an African-American. Whatever other nationality is mixed in there, he's an African-American to the society. So you don't want people to forget or to let the man move on, that he's done his time. Michael Vick, constantly being tried, even after he's been tried and convicted and served time. Moving over to the other counterparts, who have also graced the media or disgraced in the media. Robert Downey Jr., how often has this man made a routine hobby of being in the media for drugs, driving drunk, crashing cars, menacing society, endangering society, and pretty much they speak about, yeah, he's just going to rehab again. Yeah, Robert Downey's in the news again. Yeah, that idiot, that fool. He's about to kill somebody because he's driving at full speed with drugs in his system, probably drinking beyond his body's capacity. But no one says, you know, regular drunk driver Robert Downey Jr. is in the news today because he's about to do a movie. They actually put that in either as a passing, whatever, or a quick reminder somewhere in the middle of a paragraph that you will just forget about it and keep moving on. So I ask this question, is the media using this discrimination? Is the media using these flaws? Is the media using all of these, oh, this man is in the news for guns. Yes, he's a Knicks player and he's using guns. He plays basketball and he has a gun in his house. School officers are walking around with military rifles around kids. Hello? Is the media using these things to keep the stories hot, to keep people coming in, to keep their attention? Is that just strictly those things we expect the media to do? Or is this yet another attack on the African-American community? That is the question. I do have a panelist coming in, and I'm going to bring them in now to share their thoughts. Welcome to the show, Callie. You're on the air. Hello? Okay, we will wait and see how that connection works out. Okay, so back on this topic to our panelists gets their connection in order. One of the things that we, okay, wait, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, they're coming, someone's coming in, hold on. Welcome to the show, Carl, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Carlos Hillaby Jones or Stalo Jenkins calling from D.C.
Hey, how are you, Carl?
Hey,
I'm well, how's it going?
All right.
Hey, how's it going, Dick? Yeah.
All right, bless you, bro.
Bless you too, brother, man.
All right, Stalo, let's get your opinion on this tonight.
I mean, I'm gonna just try to be brief, because, I mean, at the end of the day, look at how professional sports has done all black players anyway. Look how they did Plaxico. The Jim Brown era was real. That really happened, okay? The era of time when, you know, they really didn't want us on the field, franchise player or not, but yet and still they want to make money off of us no matter what. You know, especially if it's at your expense, if it's at the expense of you or your character or your body or what have you. I mean, look how they, you know, you can even say that about RG3. You can say that about a whole bunch of players. In fact, I look at it like, okay, the player that came out openly gay now, you know, he was most likely forced to do so, you know. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and he felt this way, and I started to think about it. He was most likely forced to come out, or they would have media blasted him anyway, you see. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think a lot of us are realizing they made him do that, maybe, possibly. And, you know, is the media run by professional sports, or is it the other way around? That's my question, you know. And what they did, I mean, look at Ben Roethlisberger. Look at that situation. What was he, suspended for 4 games for multiple alleged rapes? I mean, you know, alleged, of course, if that's what they say and everything, but it was multiple times. I mean, looking at it, there was more coverage on his automobile accident than there was on any of his scandals. So, you know, all black people aspiring to go into professional sports should understand that at the end of the day, they're going to do whatever they can to make money off of you, from college on up to professional sports. They're going to do whatever they can to make the biggest bag of money, you know. And it oftentimes comes at the expense of our lives. You know, Michael Vick, you know, we already know what happened to him. He at one point was the Michael Jordan of football, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was hot. And now I walk around, I see him, you know, we can see that. The man is scared to answer a question without first looking around to see if it's okay. It's degrading. And as far as Jason Collins being forced to come out, possibly, but I think that he was just doing the smart thing and pretty much taking the power away from anybody who would have outed him by spying on him somewhere or coming out with some scandalous pictures in the tabloids. Frankly, whether I agree or disagree or believe or don't believe, frankly, I don't think that his sexual orientation has a damn thing to do with his profession. Unless he raped a male in the locker room, what he does in his own private room is nobody's damn business. What he does on the court is everybody's business. And Deacon, you were the first I called in, but there was a connection issue. So let's see what you have to say.
Excuse me. First of all, I have to say that the media is the main instigator when it comes to race relations, especially race relations and when it comes to sexual events and even the crimes that some of these athletes commit. They want to focus on the negative part more than they do on the positive. Because, like you said, this situation with with Felton has nothing to do with Plaxico Burress. That man, okay, he served his time. Okay, let him go ahead and get on with his life. You don't have to bring his name up in a situation that's brand new. What he did, okay, he paid for it. Leave it alone. Now, when it comes to this gay thing, okay, first of all, I don't agree with it. But, you know, who am I to judge somebody for the lifestyles that they choose? It's not in my power to judge anybody, and in the word it says for me to judge not for, so I may not be judged. And excuse me. And first of all, if the man is playing ball, be it basketball or football, if he's contributing to the team and we're winning, that's all I'm concerned about. His sexual prowess is none of my business. What he does in his spare time and in his life, that's his business. It has nothing to do with me. And I don't need the media to keep force-feeding me this. Every time I turn on ESPN, this is what they're talking about. Instead of focusing on the talents that this man has and the sport that he is in and if he's contributing, okay, fine. Let him go ahead and do what he does. But as far as us, excuse me, looking into his bedroom, his lifestyle, or whatever, that's on him. You know, if that's the life he chooses to live, let him live it. As long as he don't bring it to me, I don't have a problem with it. And I can say that with no problem, and for the simple fact because I have a daughter that is gay. I have a grandson that is gay. I have a nephew that is gay. They know I don't agree with it, you know, and they don't try and flaunt it in my face because they know how I feel about it. Because it's not my concern about what they do in their lifestyle. All I could do is just tell them I'm not judging you, but I just want to tell you what the Word of God says.
Okay, and thank you for that, Deacon, absolutely. My other concern with this, especially with Jason Collins, is this. If he's contributing to the team, and you did point that out, Deacon, if he's contributing to the team, that should be the focus. That should be the concern for the public and for the stakeholders. Okay, I'm going to say that. But on the other hand, aside from the fact that to me it's just invasion of privacy and is really irrelevant to his position, okay?
Yes.
If they continue to keep putting that up first of all, it leaves open to a lot of other ignorance. Let's start this. Let's say the team starts to go on a losing streak. You know how the ignorant remarks are going to be made.
Yeah.
Okay? The ignorant remarks are, yeah, well, they got that gay player on there. Maybe he wasn't hitting right, or maybe he wasn't doing whatever. So there's one thing. You opened up a channel that doesn't need to be open. Then we're talking about people who have an outright hatred for homosexuality, for any type of differences, for anybody who's a different color. Why keep feeding that nonsense? Why, like you said, Stalo, why wasn't Ben Roethlisberger's rapes brought to the table more so than his accident? Why
exactly.
Isn't Robert Downey Jr. constantly being labeled, you know, consistent drug addict or, you know, chronic drunk?
Exactly.
That's not coming up. Jason Williams, does anybody remember him from the New Jersey Nets?
Yeah.
Now, okay. Jason Williams, all right? Now, we know there was a few things involved with him. He took a plea, did whatever. But did they not sacrifice him to the wolves?
Yes, for sure.
The death. Meanwhile, on the other side of land, we have heavy metal rocker Tommy Lee, who in 2003 had a birthday party for his son. Okay? Now, just listen to this. I don't give a flying hell if you are the president, if you are the biggest name in music media in the world, if you are conducting a party that has preschoolers in it. Your job is not to just have the nanny there, but to make sure that at all times you are where those children are, especially if you have a swimming pool. Now, what took place? There was a baby, I say baby because he was little, that drowned in this man's pool. The jury cleared this man of all responsibility and accountability, even in the civil lawsuit.
Wow.
Now, as much as for this woman, trusting in this man, excited for a kid, you understand, these boys played together, lost her baby. Because whatever it is they were doing, they said, we're paying the nanny to take care of it. Well, the nanny had other things to take care of at the time, too. Actually, the nanny was really paid to watch his kid. So he's cleared of all accountability. We all know him and Pam Anderson were going through controversial stuff. They were in back and forth all the time. Yet nobody said, Tommy Lee, the guy who had a baby die in his pool and was cleared of all charges back in 2003.
Right. You don't hear nothing like that. And then it makes me have to reassess what their goals and aims really are. You know, they're constantly covering and magnifying scandal when it comes to any African-American or other minority player. And look at the effect of all this coverage and the media coverage and all these depictions on our children, many of whom idealize these athletes. They want to be just like Michael Vick, you know, especially before the scandal, you understand? And these are the people they're looking up to, and then all they see is the people that they put up on these pedestals. We're talking about children now. And they know this. They know their effect on the children. They mock it based on it. Yet they don't care that it's totally disproportionate how they're never dragging, you know, these, you know, non-minority athletes through the mud the same way they're doing the black players. And they're always, the penalties on the black players are always so punitive and so depressing. Because when you really hear it, it's like, wow, it's like, don't you know how law enforcement pays closer attention to certain areas, and oftentimes all they're doing is harassing people. It's the same thing going on in professional athleticism. They're just looking around. Oh, dude, we know where they come from. They come from the inner city. They come from here. They do this. They black. They big. They muscular. They smoke weed. They do this. I know I can find it on them. I know they're doing something. And then when their stereotypes in their mind are confirmed, they have nothing but desire to really tear a person down. They have torn down so many of our great warriors on the field and on the court. You know, they tore down a lot.
Absolutely. Riley Cooper sit up there and gets chronically drunk every time he's off the field. And you know what? What do they do with him? They said that him threatening a whole race of people in his inebriation, okay, was not to do more than fine the man and suspend him would be too severe a punishment for the infraction. I don't know. If somebody can come out and say certain things and to that magnitude when they're drunk, when the filters are down, when the restrictions come off, okay,
right.
What the hell is in their mind? What will they do with a gun in their hands? What will they do behind a car when they're drunk and they see one of those people that they'll go and jump over a fence to kick butts for behind the wheel of a car crossing the street?
Yeah.
Getting back to the subject, I see you, caller. I'll bring you in just a minute. And, Deacon, I'll let you address your point in a sec. In my opinion, as a writer and as somebody who wants their work to be seen, wouldn't you want to bring the story to the front surface and not the scandal so much? Doesn't everybody do the scandal? Isn't the tabloids good for scandal? Even the only difference between the tabloids reporting scandal and a newsworthy quote-unquote source is that we know tabloids do the most outrageous things. Like we knew about the National Enquirer. You know, woman breeds 12 kids with monkey. You know what I'm saying? Aliens are taking over my baby. You know, things to that effect. But it gets sold because people are like, this is that ridiculous. But when you are put in someone's character, someone's flaws, someone's past infraction, that they're trying to get their life to just move forward in, and it's 12 years later, and you found this person a newsworthy feature, and all you want to do is have this person associated with their past, with things that the world knew about, they got convicted for, they served time for, and they're back out to try to do something different, to make the best of their mistakes and do something different. They murdered Chris Brown in there. They murdered Chris Brown, okay? Well, we all know the incident, and frankly, Rihanna used it to her advantage because she got boosted up. Meanwhile, right after Chris, she's busy bed-hopping or doing whatever it is with people just like him, who did the same thing to her. But they murdered this man, his image, his everything. Why? Because Chris Brown is a young black successful singer. Now, while we got other wives on the other end of the rainbow spectrum that was reported running out of their house, fear for their life because their drunk celebrity husbands were beating them or threatening them with guns. I mean, does everybody remember Deep Space Nine?
Yes.
No. Let me rephrase. Wrong spinoff. Voyager. Star Trek Voyager.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sure you do because it had to be one of the most popular sexy androids that was on there, which was Seven of Nine. Okay? Well, Seven of Nine, whose real name is Jeri Ryan, was in court trying to divorce her husband and reported how this man forced her to indulge in a swinging lifestyle, who brought people there to rape her because pretty much she was against it, but he was using the marital control or whatever, who abused her, who put her through all of this stuff, and she walked away with just a regular old settlement, pretty much sold to shut her mouth, and this man, while he's grinning and smiling without an ounce of remorse or care that stuff was coming out, walked away. And you never heard about him ever again. Meanwhile, they protected her issue as well because she got to move on and do sitcoms and do whatever. But nobody addressed that issue that way. Now, you let that had been Raymond Felton and Ariane Felton in divorce court, and she reported something like that. First of all, not only are they talking about Raymond Felton's gun possession, but they are amping up the fact that it was his wife that sold him out, in a sense. And she clearly stated, he never, ever physically threatened me with the gun. But every time we had arguments, he had it in his hand. She never said he brandished it in any threatening manner, just that whenever we argued, he had it in his hand.
Why?
That's another story, but what I'm saying is, okay, simply because she said it. Now, have all of you seen what his wife looks like? We can't have those people being scared of big black men. And regardless to all of you that goes, oh, she's on another spin, this, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, not at all, but I will speak on what is blatant as hell. I'm not a fan of A-Rod whatsoever, but the way that they dragged him through the mud for doing the exact same thing that his two white counterparts did, especially one that was lying through his big bloated teeth. His career or his dignity got reduced to almost nothing. Meanwhile, Mark McGwire got praised for his honesty and bravery of coming forward and admitting that he was covering up for people who were supplying him with steroids.
And he's coaching in baseball.
And he's still in baseball, and he got to pick a bigger job, which was coaching. Meanwhile, over in Minorityville, Sammy Sosa practically got deported if he didn't get deported. Barry Bonds went to jail. A-Rod tested clean after his own admissions of doing it. So why wasn't anybody saying brave A-Rod came forth and admitted to it? No, that's like a conviction still on his defense record. All right, callers, I'm bringing you in right now. One second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening, KD and the panel. This is Tariq Atkins calling from Dothan, Alabama.
Oh. All right. Welcome and bless you.
Hi, Tariq. One second. You're right behind you. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air. one second, I think. Okay. Welcome to the show, Cole. You on the air?
Hi, Katie. It's Derek.
Hey, Derek. How are you?
How are you?
I'm fine.
How you doing, panel?
Hey, Derek. How are you? God bless you.
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay.
Okay,
all right.
There's one person for you, so if she's done, you have the floor. All right, Al, Derek.
Right.
What's your take, babe?
It's kind of real touchy type of subject at times, but I'll just be looking at how things going, like with Jason and stuff, and, you know, and, I guess to get certain things off your chest that you feel, you know, inside of yourself that you are as far as it pertains to, you know, being homosexual and stuff like that, you know, that's a good thing for you to be, like how he even said it, your authentic self, you know, and stuff like that, but when you're doing that, you're going to have a price to pay as opposed to you being an athlete who's known, a professional athlete, or some regular person that's just in society, you know, regular as far as, you know, human being without these certain accolades of, you know, being a professional or something, you know, in the entertainment industry. So, you know, they will set, it seems like they're putting in motion, like, certain things, especially when it comes to us, you know, and to our people, because why is it that a lot of times we always be like the stars for all this stuff that once upon a time, things that were really frowned upon and to a certain degree still are, we're like the big candidates to be the ones that push it. And I've noticed that, just like with the movies, you know, the blaxploitation films and all that. We're always the ones who get pushed to promote certain things. You know, that's
negative
things, you know, once upon a time. But nowadays, everything goes just about. So, you know, it's like, you know, do you, whatever it is. As long as it's not affecting me, you know, directly or whatever, it's all good, you know.
It's not affecting you directly, nor is it affecting the society in any exponential way. This man is a damn ball player. Let him be a ball player. If he's messing up on the field, then you know what? Take him into the locker room and do your coach thing or do your stakeholder thing. But leave him that alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really care for anybody's viewpoints on homosexuality or not on the segment because, frankly, that's not the issue. This man is a damn ball player. He's a ball player. Why the hell do I care what he does outside the field? If I had bet on the game and I knew he could do it and he just played like an idiot. Listen, all of you know I'm a diehard Knicks fan, whether they suck all year, whether they've been sucking for 40 years, whatever. When they win, I'm just as happy as if it was a championship, when they lose, I'm just as bad. But I will tell you this, okay? I'll sit right there and scream at the screen if I feel that a player on that team that I know could do better seemed to look like he played a fixed game or he played in a way where he was deliberately trying to throw the game. I will yell and scream because do I care if he's a gay player that threw it? Do I care if he likes zebras at home? No. I care that I'm watching you every day, every game. I'm cheering for you. I'm believing in you. And you're an idiot on the damn court on purpose. Yeah. That's what I care about.
Mm-hmm.
Why
do they do that, KD? That's what I'm trying to understand because they like, this is the thing, the only thing that concerns me really, because people are going to do what they want to do no matter whatever you're saying you are. Why would you just come out anyway? What's the goal when people come out and they tell their orientation when you never asked them what their orientation was?
Let's think real hard about that question because I don't advocate either way for anybody. I feel people are human, and the only person they have to answer to is the Lord. But listen to this. Why would he come out? Well, how would you feel that you would rather this come out? Well, how would you feel? That he attacked the problem face on himself before any, whatever that is in the background, please control it. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Did everybody see 8 Mile with Eminem?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know you did, right? I know you did, Derek. Now, let me bring your attention to the way he handled being bullied, being laughed at. What did he do? He got there in the final battle with the champion, knew what the champion was going to rap about to him, and he took his own embarrassments and put it in his own rap. and said, I'm all that and then some, but I'm still here, now what? And he took the power away from those people that will probably make his life 3 times more hell. Okay? I would rather he did exactly what he did and show that he's a person and he stands up for who he is, regardless of who the hell agrees with it or not, than have somebody, have this man, have to hide out who he feels he is, okay, and then take some really nasty, low-down, tricky, dirty, grimy picture, Photoshop it to make more sensationalism out of it, and next thing you know, it's a scandal he wasn't expecting. This man has a right to live. And as long as he's playing and he's giving all his big wig people up there the satisfaction of winning or doing his damn job, why is his damn bedroom life your business? Why? Because if you want to talk about disgusting, then you tell me, why is it okay for a guy to have 1 million girls that he sleeps with at one time? Or threesomes, or you know what, having gangbangs happen because they're athletes and it's okay and it's expected. Meanwhile, all of these players, if not all of them, have wives and babies at home. Why isn't that the uproar of the society?
Right.
And half of the time that those things happen, real scandal and real effects physically mess with these players' performance. Anybody want to talk about Patrick Ewing? Yes, and he was a Knick. Got involved with his Knicks cheerleader. What happened there? Anybody want to talk about Stephon Marbury? Anybody want to talk about these things? But you want to talk about a man's right to be while he's performing? Are you kidding me? Deacon, you were going to say, and then Derek, you have the floor.
Yes. what I would like to say about the media are a bunch of hypocrites for the simple fact you want to dwell on this man's on his sexual preference. Okay. Especially the NFL are a bunch of hypocrites. I don't know if anyone has heard, but they're talking about penalizing players for using the N-word during the games.
How very nice of them.
And, okay, but you want to penalize them for using the N-word, but you have the Washington Redskins. Is that not racist? They've been trying to get them to change the name of the Redskins for years, and they refuse to do that. But now you want to make a big issue about them using the N-word, even though I'm against, I'm against the word, period. I don't care how you spell it, or like some of the young people say, they use it as a term of endearment. There's nothing endearing about the N-word to me. No ifs, ands, or buts about it because of the history of it. And for them to want to make a big issue out of Jason's sexual prowess, and then you have this football player that's coming into probably going to be drafted into the league. Why you can't just address this man as a football player instead of the gay football player? I don't want to keep hearing that every time I turn on the television. The gay football player that came out. Okay. Let this man live his life. You know, if you want to talk to him about the game that he played. Well, how good he was in college and how many tackles he's had and all of that. And if he's not living up to the standard of his sport, then address that.
And only that. And
yes.
Only that. That he has an obligation to play at his best. Because when they drafted him and they gave him whatever contract they gave him, they were basing it on his experience and his value and his talent. So, yes, in that respect, you know what? Shred him to pieces. If you know that he wasn't doing his best.
It has affected this man. It has affected this man and with him testing at the combine. Because they're all up in his face and asking him about his sexual prowess. Come on. Give the man a break. Are you digging into these other athletes' lives where they have some? You have quite a few of them that are smoking marijuana, but you're not addressing that. Are you concerned about this man coming out because he's gay? Come on.
That's his right as a human being to be and love whoever he chooses to be and love. That is his deal. However which way, if it seems wrong to whoever it is, it's not your place. Tariq, you have the floor, honey.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to basically, you know, starting the media, I just think it's the media being the media. I don't think that, you know, it's intentionally to bash him. It's them doing what they need to do to sell these papers. But I do feel that they're looking at
the wrong thing. There's some interference in the background. Please, somebody please take care of it.
Okay, go ahead, Tariq. Thank you, DJ.
Okay. I'm on Google now. I've been on Google all day since the pre-broadcast question went up. And I'm looking at the fact that they choose to speak about his sexuality. He's great at the box out. He can box out almost any player that he goes against. Nobody's talking about his specific talents, as I think the Deacon said earlier. Nobody's looking at him as a player. They're looking at
right.
the gay player. And I feel like it's very important for them to take out the gay part because it doesn't define his game. And I feel like it's just
right.
the media because I'm looking at other players that, you know, the other players are embracing this man with no problem. He played
right.
at the Staples Center and he got a standing ovation. Who gets a standing ovation from the opposing team?
Yes.
There you go.
As soon as he stepped on the court, the whole Staples Center was on their feet for this man. So if the people who are actually putting money into funding his career, which are the fans buying these tickets, if they don't have a problem with it, if they're not looking at him as the gay athlete, why is he in the headlines as that? I just feel like, you know, they're doing whatever it takes to sell their papers, and I'm not one to
yeah.
knock somebody's hustle until I feel like you're disrespecting somebody else. It's
right.
just like,
boosting
you know,
their rating. Boosting their
like
ratings.
It's like a typical law.
Yeah.
And just like a typical law. You know, you have a freedom of speech until your freedom of speech is messing with somebody else.
Right, inciting a riot.
Right. So I just feel that, you know, it's very important that they understand that, which I know they won't. This the media. Again, this is their job. But at the same time, you know, there's a line to be drawn at a certain point. This man came
yeah.
out on his own free will, as I'm reading right now. He wanted to come out. He wanted it to be known, not because I want to be a headline in your newspaper, but because I don't want to, as Katie said, have to take these fake pictures standing next to a female that I'm not interested in or pose with a female that I know I don't have that type of relationship with.
Right.
Or be seen with the person he's actually dating, you know, and it comes out in a bad way. This man is entitled to live. Now, I'm going to say one thing with what you said, Tariq, is that I would agree that it's just a media tactic if they did the same exact treatment to everybody across the board, as I brought up before. Why the hell isn't Robert Downey Jr. not just being a laughing joke about his alcoholism, but why isn't all of that being stressed? This man crashed a car into a tree, I believe. Luckily, it was a tree. But what if that tree fell over on another oncoming car? And all he gets to do is just check himself into rehab and be celebrated for his bravery. For taking the first step on his own, for not being hauled off. This man has been in handcuffs more than there's iron to make them.
If he was black, they'd have hauled him off anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They don't give you a chance to have some dignity. Oh, I don't even want.
Yeah, Justin Bieber is a young kid and constantly in there. Nobody's talking about that. Miley Cyrus is out there prostituting herself without being a prostitute. Everybody's talking about she's a troubled teen trying to find herself. Nobody is putting these guys' flaws, infractions, media coverage, or before whatever, on the front page when they've come out of that situation and are doing something new. Okay, Johnny Depp, all of you know who he is, right?
Who is that? Who?
Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know Johnny Depp has a thing for young underage girls? They actually gave him props for that. Like, that's a thing to do. Now, how many underage daughters have been in this man's trailer camp? With the CIA-type bodyguards and their little shades standing guard until he finished with doing whatever he wanted to do.
sick.
They actually had an interview where they openly spoke about how during the filming of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, this man had his eyes set on young assistants, on extras, on anybody that caught his fancy and fit his fetish. And not a soul is saying, you know, young pedophile Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Or, you know, young girl fetish lover, you know, Johnny Depp. Every time
right.
you see this man, he's being more and more embraced and more uplifted whenever he comes out. He's the sex symbol of the United States. He's the this is what you give them. Now, let's see. What would Eddie Murphy have been like?
We've been through a lot.
Lord knows that when Eddie Murphy was caught in the car with that horse dresser, they didn't let him live it down.
Correct. Yeah.
Teddy Pendergrass died, and they had an issue with somebody he had in his car.
Yeah, transvestite.
Okay. Did anybody give a damn when he was gracing their ears with his love and love songs and his great voice? As long as he was doing whatever? They didn't care then, but as soon as he got off the stage, hit that newspaper, here we go. Yeah, he was great,
right.
But you know he was caught in the car with a transvestite, right?
Mm.
He could have just been picking this guy up to wait to take him, you know, to the next town or whatever.
Yeah.
But the implications tell stories.
Wow, I did not know that about Johnny Depp. That is crazy. That man.
Yeah.
That man's sick. And you know, they wouldn't have let him get off with that if he was black. I mean, there's not even an alleged case.
Mm.
No one is even alleged.
If he's a moneymaker and he's the right criteria, that's what it is.
And he has the right complexion.
You know, what if he liked young underage boys? What would that have been? Would that have been something?
Good.
Rock Hudson was the biggest sex symbol ever and was gay and died unhappy because he was forced to be seen with the most extremely beautiful of starlets at all times so that they could keep their moneymaker going.
They don't care.
Well, I definitely understand as far as, you know, because I'm just thinking about it now, getting off of the topic of, you know, athletes and actors, but even Paula Deen, did you guys see about her and her comment about that black guy?
Yes.
She got off. That black football player. Meanwhile, you're still making money. Walmart hasn't pulled your dishes off the shelves. These other places are not selling your stuff after you did that, but nobody's saying, oh, Paula Deen, the nigger lover, or sorry for the word on the air, but nobody's saying Paula Deen, the N-word lover or the N-word sayer. She's just back to Paula Deen now. Now she's back and everybody's putting her back on shelves.
Let's look at Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart committed the biggest infraction of their society, inside trading. Okay, and what does she get to do? She went to go play house in a cute little style and then got a ankle bracelet where she got to go home and continue making sheets and stuff. And nobody says anything. Well, they mention it, but it's always in some passing comment. And as a matter of fact, that particular thing about Martha, has anybody noticed that each story that came out, the reference to that infraction she did gets lower and lower in the article?
Yeah.
He used to be the headliner, but little by little, you start knowing first it was front page, headline, then it was the first byline, then it was the first, now it's like at the end real quick, and even in a way where it praises her for overcoming such a horrible thing.
OJ, that's something that you said that you really made me go on a deep thought because, you know, since you had covered that thing and about, you know, the homosexuality topic, but, you know, when I look at it, you know, on the whole, because there's many different things that people do wrong, you know, and if you're doing immoral things, you're just doing it.
You know, and it should be pointed out if it's a moral thing, and at the same time you can't be hypocritical neither, because when these people, as y'all was mentioning, are doing these certain things that's not right, Johnny Depp and the other ones that y'all mentioned, you know, especially, and that's a shame that it seemed like it come the race when it's that way too with these entertainers, they get the pass. But you know what I'm thinking deep down is that since we, you know, really from dealing with the people for this long and the many immoral things they did to us, maybe it's because they know, well, this is how a lot of us get down anyway. And we've been giving each other the pass to do things that wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And you should know better. So we're going to jump on y'all because we always had to be 100% better or the moral standard for this country, and we was the one who was getting down trying by it. So it's like a no-win situation. If we try to do our best, we get looked down and frowned upon, and if we do bad, we're the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Well, credit to Jason Collins for whatever they feel was bad, that he took it upon himself to say, that's who I am, and judge me not on that, but look at what I'm doing for you. Good for him that he got to tell a story and not some tabloid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so for whatever the hell is going on up in the big old lofty perches of the corporate offices, this man decides to take a stand as a human being, and that's all I care about. I don't care about what he does after the court. I don't care about who he has a ring on fingers with. Okay, that's not my place. My thing is, this is where I would have a problem with it. If I paid $75 per person to go see your game at a show, okay, I mean at a stadium, all right, or an arena, and instead of you hitting the ball or making that three-pointer, you paused and went to go kiss your husband or your date on fan time, I'd have a problem with it. Because you should be playing the ball. But that's the only way it should affect anybody in this world.
Exactly.
And kudos to him for saying what he said, that I would rather not always be seen as the openly gay player. I mean, did anybody remember how Arthur Ashe got this mess? Arthur Ashe, when he came out, Lord knows that was like the breaking news of the century, because there was two things that he did wrong. He was an African-American in what was considered a predominantly white sport, and he was pretty damn good at it, okay? And he played through all the racism and the blockages and all the controversy and all the hatred. He played, and he played his behind off. But he died. When he died, then everything went to hell. Because now his legacy is always going to be the Arthur Ashe came out at the last minute. Oh, we're shocked to know that he was really gay. Oh, we're shocked to know this. And you know what? Had he lived long enough, he would have been living the wrath of a destroyed career. Now look what they've done to Tiger Woods. The minute he did one human stupid thing, Lord knows he hasn't lived it down. Even though he was stupid, because he's still stupid, making still stupid things. And don't get me wrong, everybody, okay? I want to be perfectly clear. No matter what the situation is, I do not absolve any of these grown damn people. Knowing what their status is in society, knowing what everybody is looking out for, they're just waiting like little snarling demons in the corner, waiting for them to drop just one crumb. And you idiots gave it to them. So I don't feel sorry for the fact that the consequence came. My problem is, you don't have a right to start ripping apart things that have nothing to do with the story. That's my problem. If you want to talk about Jason Collins coming to the Nets, speak about his stats. Speak about where his mind was or how he felt about being drafted by that particular team. Speak about the fact that maybe he had a slump once. And just as Tariq pointed out, which I didn't read, was he's a hell of a boxer. Speak about all those things. Why the only thing you see when you click his name up on Google and all those links to all the different articles come up, all say openly gay player. Some of them.
Every single one of them. I'm on Google right now. Every single one of them.
Oh, my God, yes. That's what prompted me to do the topic. every single link before you clicked on the one you wanted to read started off with openly gay player. Oh, they were a little nicer in some of them and said actual NBA player after the gay. Very nice of you. Wonderful people. But everything said openly gay player, player who came out, gets drafted by Brooklyn Nets. What's the story here? Everything. And everything Raymond felt in ended with Plaxico Burress. Tell me how the two are even connected. Why? Because there happened to be a gun and they both were black. And frankly, Plaxico screwed himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he just shot himself, though.
I just said that. Exactly what I just said. He screwed himself. So how was that newsworthy and, you know, penalty invoking? I couldn't tell you. Except that they have a strict no weapons policy in these leagues. Are you kidding me? These are millionaires that are targets that are seen and everybody knows who they are. They need protection. They may even need protection from the very people who are hired to protect them.
Like Michael Sam.
Yeah.
Hello?
Like Michael Sam. He's known the black gay football player. That's what he is.
Yeah.
That's what you find him everywhere. Sometimes, like you said before, sometimes they are nicer about it. They'll say NFL. They'll throw out there that he is a professional at it, but gay is always going to be in bold. Right now I'm looking at it, gay, the word gay is in pink. For you to click a link that's going to take you to three more links talking about when he came out and how he came out and why he came out. But none of them are talking about his stats and what he did or even how much his contract is for.
Wow.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. A lot of these celebrities are getting away with a lot. Like Phil Robertson, I don't see his name. I don't see a homophobic tag on his name. The guy from Duck Dynasty,
right?
Yeah.
That went on TV talking about calling the F word, dropping the F bombs everywhere on these guys. I don't see him hashtagged as a homophobic, but I see these players hashtagged as gay players. Not even professional, just
right.
Gay player. Gay
right,
basketball
right.
player. You need to specify that. You need to take gay out because gay does not matter. Again, like everybody on this panel has said, his orientation has nothing to do with either one of these guys that I'm speaking about, either Collins or Sam. Neither one of their sexuality has anything to do with their input on the field and the court. Nothing to do with it. Even if they were, it would not be acceptable, but I don't even see them as the flamboyant type. Like, these people decided in their mind that I want to come out. I want this to be known because I don't want to have to hide. I'm proud of myself, not for you to use me as a target and to sell your papers. And it just blows my mind that every single newspaper can print the same story, saying it the exact same way. Like, nobody seems to have a different view on it. Not one newspaper is going to say, you know what, the Daily News is wrong for writing about him in this particular sense. Nobody's going to say the Post is wrong. Everybody's basically backing each other up, quoting each other.
You know what?
It's a cycle that's never going to end.
I saw that too, Derek. It was very odd that every single one of those so-called different sources reporting on the same story not only had the same or similar front page headline, but their opening sentences seemed to start the same, and their quotes almost seemed identical. Like people were copy and pasting their competitors' stories and putting it into their so-called own words. But you're right. Not one of these people stood up and said that it's just an NBA player. Not one person said it was an NFL player. Not one person. Mel Gibson got drunk and went on a racial rant. Now, for whatever reasons, they actually gave him a little more reading play, I'm going to call it, about his situation. But the minute they come out and they do some publicist-directed apology on the air, okay, all right, you did it, it's good, now keep going. Forget about it, it's in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Vick fought dogs and went to jail. and I'm pretty sure if he wasn't black, he wouldn't have been that penalized.
Yeah, and excuse me, he's, and he's still receiving death threats, and he's already paid his debt to society.
Oh, gee, you know what? I'm not laughing at that situation at all. You know how stupid you death threaters sound? I'm going to kill you, man. You know, you messed with a dog, dude.
Hey, did you all hear? I heard it today.
America, what the hell is wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
On the way home today.
What he did was not right. What he did was not right. Not at all. Dogs and animals deserve to be treated well, too. Don't get me wrong. Now, I'm not a super animal rights advocate. Okay? Because if there was a tornado coming in my way and it was my child or the dog, the child is coming, the dog will go. I'll look for him around the corner somewhere.
What's mind-boggling to me is that you have these rich Caucasian folks that have all of this money, and they actually fight dogs today as we speak. But nobody's saying anything about that.
Isn't that crazy? I heard today going on the way home that they're about to start, it's going to be a 15-yard penalty if they use the N-word on the field.
Yes.
Is that, I mean, come on. Oh, my God. And, like, with all the real implications of that, well, how dare they target us like that, you know, in that arena?
Did you say 15
if you
yards?
That,
like,
change the name
yards.
Of the Washington Redskins. Yards. That name needs to go.
Wait. Did you say
15? I mean,
15?
It used to be the Braves.
Panel. Did you say $15?
Yards on the field, on the football field.
Yeah.
No.
And if it's repeated again, they will be fined. They will be fined.
Wait a minute. Did you guys say that the fine was I really need an answer here. Did you guys just say that the fine was $15?
No. What we said was on the football field, professional football now. I've heard that now, 15-yard penalty if you use the word, the N-word on the field. If you use the word nigger on the field. If you say nigger, any variation of it, 15-yard penalty. How that's going to affect us in the game.
Well, I don't care about the game. 15 yards for a racial epithet. That's the penalty for the N word epithet. The penalty is yardage off the field.
15 yards,
crazy, right?
Oh God! Yardage off the field. That's the penalty. That's not in addition to another penalty.
I have no idea. And that's absolutely right. When the Constitution says I can knock you out.
Well, I guess in that respect, you know, we NFL African-Americans should stand our ground. Wow. I guess that's the only way they're going to allow us to use that law, right? Wow. 15 whole yards for being called the N-word. Nice. Really nice. I'm honored. Wow. Nice of you. Really nice of you. You fellas are really up there with your thinking caps on. Wow.
KD, I want to ask something based on this. You know, do you or does anybody on the panel even think that the way that they're doing this, and in particular, is this black athlete that's coming out? You know, it's like we always try to be the boldest and the realest a lot of time when it comes to issues that, you know, that we really feel at heart. So I'm like, why is it like, you know, when it comes to the media, it seems like they're trying to, and like how you said, you know, the thing as far as conspiracy, I know that this you say, Katie, but a lot of times, and you even got charges that they be saying, oh, you charged with conspiracy to do this. And a lot of times in life, it is certain things that's conspiracies you know, as well as sometimes it's just things that people say are conspiracies. And sometimes it's things going on and they really do be conspiracies. But the thing that I'm getting at is, are they doing this with these certain black athletes to promote it to our people?
That could be true, Al-Tariq. I wouldn't put anything past the society anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I really wouldn't. Listen, how much more obvious can things be? I mean, lately, their cover stories are not even good.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that a three-year-old could go, that'll make no sense. Okay, so I don't put anything past anybody. Now, am I going to run the streets with a flag stating that, you know, there's a conspiracy going on? No, because pretty much, let me explain this to you, and let me put my position out there. I'm not going to waste my time, okay, doing things that's already known or things that have already been addressed. I'm going to not waste my time. I'm going to use my time to go out there and make the changes in whatever capacity I can. Do I want to continuously keep telling people that there's prejudice out in the world? Who doesn't know that? Even the ones who pretend they don't.
Yep.
Do I want to go out there and say that blacks have it hard because, you know, the corporate world is run by what is considered a predominantly white world? No. What I'm going to do is that whatever avenues are open for me, I'm going to go in there with my little quiet self. And I'm going to do the best of my ability and be as capital of a place as I can be. And then I'm going to try to take it to do something for myself, to do something my way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make my mark that way.
Why is it that they're not making a big issue on the I know this may be a little bit off subject, but why aren't they making an issue out of the federal government supplying money to the drug cartel?
Exactly. If we want to talk about conspiracy,
yeah.
See, we have a negative connotation to the word when the word only means somebody and multiple people committed a crime. If you committed a crime, you had to conspire to do it. It's like the same thing as the word plan. But it's like plan, it's the word plan, only there's a crime involved. So they conspired. So, yes, they put money into the drug cartels and put drugs into the communities, in black communities. We know this. Freedom of Information Act put the documents in our hands. Yet and still there's no lawsuits. Where are my reparations?
Yeah. Because
that's slavery too. And I lived through that. Okay, the 80s. Thank you. So you mean our reparations for the 80s. Now, if you don't want to give it to me for slavery, you don't want to give it to me for what you said my ancestors went through, which I know what my ancestors went through, which you know, anything you tell me about mine makes no sense until I tell you, until I present it for you, until I let you know. So give me money now. You owe me now reparations. For many things, but first and foremost, for the crack epidemic, I want reparation for the crack epidemic. And I don't want to hear nothing about tax money and people getting stuff for free, because all that is false. All that stuff is offset. And now I'm going deep into this stuff now, and I'm not even going to speak on it. But no, none of that is happening. None of your tax dollars ever see any of the welfare programs in this country. So don't even keep listening to that crap.
Okay, I need to get back to the media situation.
I'm sorry.
Okay, we are all speaking, we all know all these things, but I will say this. The media is playing up the discrimination aspects of things, or what could be subject to discrimination. I believe that in consistently bringing up things like the person is gay, or things like there was another African-American player who did the same thing, or things like all of the old charges that someone did but has now changed their life around consistently coming up three centuries later. is doing nothing but taking the focus off of the man or the woman themselves. Okay, it's taking the focus off of what's important about the person, and depending on the angle of the story. First of all, I don't see how gay plays into anything unless they are doing a story on this man to speak about how he's overcome certain things. It is a hell of a thing to come out in a what's supposed to be masculine world as a man and say that I'm gay in a sports world where a lot of scrutiny can happen in the locker rooms, a lot of alienation. But in addition, is this not feeding hate to people who already have too much of it?
Mm-hmm.
If you have people who are avid, as you say, homophobics, okay, what do you think those that read the news or click on the internet media or do whatever, constantly seeing those words come up in bold letters, going to do for their hatred? Is it going to teach them not to do that? Is it one of those cases where the media feels, you know, the only thing to do with fear is face fear itself? In order for you to overcome your problem, you have to face the problem. This is not that situation. So adding those words in is A, a media tactic, and B, the tactic that you're using never seems to be on anybody but Black Americans. The penalties that you want to set examples for is never on the people who's infracted the most. It's on the one person who did it, who had the nerve to do it, being who they are. Steroids for Clemens was not the same penalty as steroids for Barry Bonds. Steroids for Mark McGwire was not the same, did not carry the same penalties as steroids for A-Rod. Okay, they have Madonna making, I don't know what you call it, publicity stunts, kissing Britney Spears on stage.
Mm-hmm.
No one's talking about, yeah, she's got homosexual qualities. We've got Madonna using the N-word in a tweet, and she wants to sit back to, oh, you haters, stop making such a big thing out of it. By the way, how long did that story run?
A couple of weeks now.
Does anybody see that story come up anymore? She made a reply tweet and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't anybody going, that's an outrage? And then to our own son. Oh, by the way, she said, by the way, he's white. And it was just a term of endearment.
What? Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
And I was using it for my son. And she said, ellipses, who is white? Oh, that just that excuses everything. Carry on, Madonna.
Move
a credit after 7 years. So for those of you that don't want the race card to be played, to those of you who are not of the receiving race of racism, that can't fathom that such horridness exists in the world, pay attention. Because as much as we hate to have to deal with it, believe me, I don't appreciate having to say it all the time. But it is something that needs to be spoken about because it's actively practiced.
And guised. Practiced and guised. Under fuck, you know, they veil it and so you don't see it. They try to anyway, to those of us who can't see it. But look, it's guys in many different ways as far as the media goes.
There's a new panelist coming in. Just hang on while I bring them in to join the discussion. Welcome to the show, Caller. You're on the air.
How you doing, guys? This is Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey,
welcome.
Patrick. What's up?
All right.
What's it been? I'm sure you guys mentioned everything I'm about to say. I just tuned in about 15 minutes ago. But I definitely have some, for me, I look at it from a bunch of different angles, the first of which being that it does seem to be an unfair amount of attention focused on the non-white athletes that come out gay. I mean, Brian Boitano came out gay a couple months ago. world champion, a world champion ice skater. Nobody said anything. And then you look at a number of soccer players that have come out gay that nobody has said anything about. Even some white women in the WNBA have come out gay. Nobody said anything about tennis. White players have been coming out gay. So there have been white players coming out gay that have been, in my opinion, on the same level or higher level in their particular profession as a Jason Collins, or a college prospect, the Michael Sam, who everyone was expecting to be a major force because of what he was in college. But let's keep it real, he hadn't even got to the pros yet. So all of a sudden he was thrust into the spotlight not because of, you know, not because of how good his college play was, but because he came out gay. The same with Collins, thrust into the spotlight not because of his 12 years of NBA experience, but because he was gay. So I do look at the comparisons between, and we are talking about big name sports stars. We're talking about, you know, like run of the mill, get it done, role playing type athletes. All of a sudden, because they're gay, they're shoved into the spotlight, and then it becomes, well, it has to be more than because they're gay, because we see white people coming out as gay all over the place, and they're not shoving that down our throats at all. You know, it's almost like, well, yeah, you know, well, you be gay, that's your own business, whatever, whatever. But then when a black person says, you know, well, I'm openly gay, oh, wow, so how does it feel to be gay? Well, what do you think is going to happen? Well, how long were you gay? When did you find out you were gay? Did your parents know you're gay? How did they react? You know, they get all of these questions that gets thrust in their face. And then on the other end, I'm always wondering what the need is to openly make a statement to say, I'm gay. I've never felt pressured, and I'm sure there is a certain type of pressure involved, but I've never felt pressured to write a statement publicly saying, I'm straight, or I'm right-handed, or, you know, I've never felt the pressure to make a statement like that to the press. And with the Collins situation, it becomes even more interesting because he was playing basketball for a number of years already. Why all of a sudden do you feel the urge to announce your sexual preference? So me personally, I begin to look at that too. Like, you know, well, what's driving that decision? You know, that's how I'm a pro basketball player. I'm not even thinking about announcing to the world my sexual preference. If I'm gay, I'm going to go home and do whatever it is I do. If I'm straight, I'm going to go home and do whatever I do. It has nothing to do with my play on the basketball court. Why do I even introduce that into the situation, the scenario? So I look at it from a bunch of different angles, but I definitely think, as to the pre-show question, I definitely think it's both. It is a media grab for attention because gay is the hot topic. And I always say the gay population is 5 to 10% of the population of the country. And 10% is actually a high estimate. Most people estimate around 5 or 6% of the population. But they command nearly 90% of our attention whenever we find it or see it. That right there, that is amazing. But right there. And I always try to get anybody that's focused on trying to make solutions for other people, look at the gay example. That's 5% of the population of this country that are setting the rules, setting the rules, right, getting presidential addresses, getting congressional addresses, getting media attention. Like, they have America by the throat, and they are commanding whatever they want. And, you know, it's just, but back to the question, I definitely think it's both, and I think you guys have all hit on a lot of the points that I would reiterate, so I'm just going to be quiet now.
Don't be quiet. It's a talk show. Don't be quiet. It's a talk show. You know, I love, always love your input, Patrick, always. You're always looking, and you're always saying things, and, you know, you make people think on broad levels when you speak. And I will say, I believe it's both as well. Definitely both. I do believe, like I said, I cannot agree that it's simply a media tactic because it's not something that's universally practiced. Like I said, whenever they bring up things that comes down with white celebrities, and I'm not just going to put it on athletes. It's just that tonight the example happens to be an athlete or the motivation was the situation with an athlete. But as I brought up, Robert Downey Jr. is like a regular in the media. I think the media saves certain days where they expect him to do something and they make that front page, hot off the press story, reserved for him. Mm-hmm. And this man has gotten to just, okay, I think today I'll go do the right thing and go to rehab. All right, I think I drink enough and crash enough cars. I can't keep doing that. I'm going to wind up losing work. And then he goes into rehab, he cleans himself up, and he comes out with this heartfelt apology and you know, newfound redemption, only to go right back to the new club and lose that redemption in another glass of scotch or something. Why isn't anybody outraged or running that story for 3 decades? And where
That's
on earth?
He's Iron Man.
Where on earth? Yeah, he's Iron Man, all right. Iron the tree. Iron energy. Don't get me wrong. I love him in that role very much. But back to the other situation. What is the purpose? What do you guys think is the reason for the media using Plaxico Burress' story as the end paragraph to the Raymond Felton article?
Let me ask you a question. I'm actually not familiar with the transition that you guys are talking about, the end of the Plaxico Burress. If somebody can post it, I can go look and read up on it real quick.
Just all you got to do is type in Raymond Felton arrest. That's it. And if you read through the articles, however long or short, mostly every single one of them referred to Plaxico Burress' infraction 5 years ago. Okay,
I wonder,
you wanted to ask something.
I wonder when Patrick posed what he asked. It made me think of what I've been wondering, like why do make a statement publicly, and why does the media do this practice? Do you think that possibly some of these advocacy groups are paying the media, or paying some of these even possibly paying a figure or a player to do certain things? Advocacy groups. Possibly, right?
I do believe in disrespect. And it might have been publicist directed. You understand? It might have been public relations directed. But I do believe that, and the bottom line is, listen, anything that's different has a hard time. You're in a sports world, and you're in a manly sport. Okay, I don't know what that is, but please, you're in a manly sport when it's football. You're in a manly sport when it's basketball because it's a contact sport. Soccer, another one. Hockey, even. Okay? I think people start to get a little lenient when it's golf and tennis. But when you're in these hard contact sports, you got to deal with locker room garbage. You got to deal with, you know, event garbage. Look at what's going on with Richard Sherman and Crabtree. That heated debate. Things were happening all in events that had nothing to do with the game. It had to do with charity events, and there was words exchanged there. Okay, so I'm thinking part media, but on the other hand, I believe he really was conflicted and wanted to cut the power heads off before they can control it with it. And I think that the media in turn and the organization he's with decided to use the sensationalism of this to their benefit. That's what I think. I think he really wanted to say, listen, I'm going to be me. I'm tired of hiding or worrying about this or that. And then probably told his higher-ups, because you got to do things like that. Because that would be considered something that would impose danger or harm or affect the morale of other players. So you, by contract and everything else, you do have to reveal certain things to your, let's call them your captains. Okay, so I believe this was told, and I believe that the bigwigs were disappointed with it or whatever, and then I believe they paced the floor in them big offices and said, how do we turn this to our advantage? Happens all the time.
Yeah, you know, it'll help out, you know, as they call it, a community. So in the long run, you know, people make moves too, and a lot of times people don't realize when you have communities doing things, because that's what they call the lesbian gay community. And they're not dumb people. They make moves. They make moves even as thick as our own people, or maybe even thicker, because they have politicians working for them on the scenes and behind the scenes. And they
Absolutely.
Get things done, period.
Absolutely. There's not VIP ticket or season box tickets for no reason. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's those that are honorary celebrity fans like Jack Nicholson for the Lakers, Spike Lee for the Knicks. You have them. You have the
mm-hmm.
big wigs that sit up there in the boxes looking from the glass window to see how their franchise is playing. There's another scenario that I was thinking with regards to Jason Collins' decision to come forth. What about if the higher-ups received some pictures that didn't get published yet and confronted him about it, and he was forced to say it then and then ran with it? Like, well, it's a relief anyway. And they're like, well, we stopped this, so, you know, let's make a media thing out of it. How about we do this thing where he comes forth himself?
Mm-hmm. It's just like saying, I love chocolate, but I don't like Hershey.
indeed it is. Indeed it is.
Well, Jason Collins is interesting because he came out, I think, around the time where he wasn't going to get – I don't think he was going to get a new contract anyway. And coming out gay just kind of cemented it. And now, you know, now he's transitioned from being an NBA player to being a pro-gay activist and a pro-gay speaker. So anytime I think about that, I always think, I wonder if this was kind of like a planned transition to leave athletics and go into another field. Maybe something else he wanted to do anyway or anything
yeah,
like that. But, right.
Could be that too. And I still say good for him. I still say he has the right to live any way he sees fit. If he's not molesting children, if he's not beating old ladies over the head and stealing their money, if he's not shooting up people because he's in the fun mode, and he's performing his ass off on the courts, leave him alone.
Of course they're going to give it a negative spin. I'm reading. I just finished browsing over an article on Raymond Felton, and as you mentioned, there is a link to Plaxico Burress at the bottom. I actually thought that was so funny I had to mute the phone not to disrupt the show. But you know, it all goes back to that. They're always trying to paint the black male in a negative image, in a negative light. That, you know, they're always trying to do that. We were having this discussion earlier in another group, and it always seems to be, no matter what it is with regards to black people, if you can find one black person doing it, that's an example that all of them are doing it, and we're going to find as many examples and show you that as possible. Whereas when you find a non-black person doing it or a white person doing it, it's always, that's just them. It wasn't all of us, it's just that one person. But when you do it, it's all of you. So, you know, you have the Raymond Felton case, and then, of course, they're going to link it back to the Plaxico Burress case to show, look, it's not just him. There are others, and they're all like this. And then you have the Jason Collins case, and they're going to, obviously, I've seen some articles where they've tagged the Jason Collins interview in with the, my mind just went blank, the young black man that just came out in the NFL, his case.
Michael,
they're trying to link to that. And I will say the article I read on that was not a very positive article on being a pro-black player or a gay pro-black player, potentially pro-black. It was a negative article.
You know, I heard that NFL is tougher. I've heard that. I've heard people say that football, you get a lot more flack, you know, behind the field or things like that than you would in the basketball locker rooms. And Deacon, and well, maybe all of you remember, but the guy that was in the news for the hazing situation, who was that?
Was he hazing?
Wow, everybody went blank on me. Come on, gentlemen.
The Dolphins player.
Right, the one that was hazing,
Martin and Incognito.
Incognito.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Al Tariq.
Yeah.
Thank you. Shame on you. You're all sleeping on the sports shop right now. let's see you, Al Tariq. That's his name, yes. You know, I'm sorry, is that story still being circulated?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. At least they took that one seriously.
Well, they didn't have any choice.
I was going to say, but wait now, because there's been a twist on that story now. Now, Incognito isn't the bad guy anymore. Now they're attacking Martin for being soft.
That has been changed around again. Incognito will not get another job in the NFL again, because there will be no teams that will be willing to accept him, because he is considered now a cancer to a football team.
Wow! Hooray!
Yeah, it was first taken.
But now the other gentleman he said he's not going to try and press to come back to the Miami Dolphins, but he does want to continue his career, but not in Miami.
Wow. Well, my you said Miami. I get it, Florida.
Yeah. Wow.
Florida. Surprise.
Dang.
Surprise. Yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking Disneyland is Disney World isn't so fun anymore.
If you guys knew the truth, that's a whole other show.
Yeah. You know, I think I'm going to do a show on whether or not we should worry that Mickey Mouse is going to shoot a black kid and get away with it. I don't know what to tell you. This is a sad massacre of garbage coming out. Blatant garbage. This man is gay. Big whoop. The only way that should be a problem is if he put his hand on one of his co-workers, black people, against their will. The only way this should be a problem is if he tried to rape another man.
Well, that would be another story, too, because I don't believe he would make it out of that locker room. On any NFL team, I don't believe he would make it out of that shower.
Well, I'm speaking on Jason Collins as well. I mean, mainly of Jason Collins, because why is the man getting so much damn flack? What the hell is he doing but being something different to what, quote-unquote, normal society sees it as?
Mm-hmm. He's getting a lot of attention, I believe, and they, you know, as we may be looking at it as flack, like I was saying earlier, he may be sucking that all up. Like, yeah, y'all keep pouring this in, because this is drawing more attention to me and the cause of what I'm about. You know,
he may not be
looking at it negatively. He may be taking it well, and so, you know, all those interviews, who calling him, he's getting money for those interviews and stuff. So really, he's probably winning in the long run. So, you know, but how he feels about it, you know, may be a little different, because he may be getting a little brave because of the situation.
And he may not have to play so much basketball time and still get it. Hey, you know what, Jason Collins, ride or die, baby. That's the way I see it. Do what you got to do. You know what? I actually got to see a little piece of the interview where he was talking. I think, Derek, you mentioned that to me. He didn't seem to be outraged about people saying this and that. He simply said, I would prefer they wouldn't have to constantly refer to me as the openly gay player and just see me as a player. He didn't seem upset about it at all. Okay? I don't know if Barbara Walters was sitting in the back with, hey, could you come on The View? Shoot. I don't know. I'll say go for it. I say go for it, because every negative song that speaks is still giving you publicity, dude. Miley Cyrus is writing it out. She's writing it out. She's writing it till the end, the last stop, dude. She is.
To the last drop.
If Whiskey could get it, anybody can get it.
She said, Monica? Oh, no.
The man's stats are impressive. Okay, the man's stats are impressive. The fans' feedback of him is impressive. Okay, if you're saying that he walks into an arena and gets a standing ovation, that's impressive. So, so what? I don't care what he's doing after the courts. If he is not murdering anyone in society, if he's not stealing or doing anything illegal, and he's not hurting anybody in the process, he's not sexually harassing or sexually molesting, leave him alone.
Yeah, he's still the same person before anybody knew he was gay. He's still the same person that he was before.
I don't know. Chris Bosh seemed a little funny, and no one's saying anything about that.
Yeah. And they're talking about, oh, he's married. There are plenty of gay guys that are married and have kids.
Rock Hudson was married 4 times.
You know?
I don't know if any of you guys have seen it on Facebook, but there was a caption to where the college football player with his name Michael Sams.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, yes, I'm a black man and I'm a black gay guy and I'm a football player, and right up underneath it had Boss saying, prove it.
Wow. I don't know who it is that makes it. But you know, I'm just saying, there's so many things, you know, that this man had to decide. You know, whether it was that, you know, some pictures came out where he was trying to keep it in the closet and, you know, the bosses discovered it. You know how many people like to get money either way you look at it?
Yeah.
All those conspiracy movies don't come from nowhere. But, you know, that could have been it. Maybe it was a media tactic to play on his situation. Maybe he now decided, well, wait a minute. If it's a media thing, I can get my piece out of it. Because either way you look at it, I don't think he picked that particular thing to say as a media stunt. So whether they like it or they don't, the man is gay. Whether they like it or they don't, he's going to continue to be who he is. And I guess he's figuring that, you know what, they can talk about it or they can be about it or they can like it or support it or not support it. Either way you look at it, I'm still a basketball player and I'm still gay. So you know what? If they want to talk about it and they're going to pay me to do so, why not? If they can give George Zimmerman an interview.
That's right.
You know, the media is all controlled by the same few people anyway, so I think that's a lot of the reason why we get the same stuff over and over and over again. I mean, you know, they all have different names and they all on paper have different focuses. But when the same 4 or 5 companies are owning all of the major media outlets in a country, that country is pretty much going to be getting the same point of view thousands and thousands of times over. And that's pretty much what we're seeing here in America. There's and all of those media companies are owned by old conservative white guy. So with all this progressive movement we have in this country, there's a lot of negative to write about from their view. Everything looks negative. Everything is negative. Gay is most certainly negative when you look at it from that particular perspective. And right now with that movement being in such force and being so united, and so congruent in their effort to achieve the things that they want to achieve, you know, a lot of people are feeling like this is an attack on their great country, the likes of which they haven't seen since the 1960s.
So I think, and the media, I think, is playing that out, is bearing that out. You're seeing it. You're seeing younger reporters and things like that that are more progressive in thought trying to put a positive spin on it. But as a whole, the news, what you get, I mean, I saw an interesting post not too long ago. A friend of mine sent it over, and then he sent me a box not too long after it with New York Times articles. I'm sorry, not New York Times. I forget the name of the paper. If I run upstairs, but it was a global magazine that was released all over the world. And in every country, they had the same cover and the same articles being run, except in the U.S. In every other country, the articles in the magazine were politically focused, talking about major movements going on around the globe. In the U.S., the articles were focused on gay rights, gay players, and other forms of entertainment.
You know, we have about 7 minutes left in this segment. I just Googled George Zimmerman because I was going to test the theory on something. Out of all the links that was listed for George Zimmerman after a Google query, not one thing said child killer George Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, because he's innocent.
Not one. No. He was innocent of being charged with murder, but he killed a kid.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying he's innocent. I'm saying what they're saying. They're saying
right.
He's innocent.
What I'm saying is he's still a child killer. Regardless of whether he was convicted of the crime or not, the act was there. Whether he did it in a murderous intent by the court of law, the kid is dead and he killed him. He shot him. Not one thing is saying child killer George Zimmerman. Not one. But openly gay player Jason Collins is everywhere.
Did they say it about Jordan Davis, the man who killed him?
Well, he's been convicted.
I mean, but they were saying what? They didn't actually say that he got convicted for the death of the boy he shot, right?
Right.
Just the one who he didn't
they didn't convict him of first degree murder.
The other ones, he might have would have beat the case altogether. Well, the problem with somebody says that, if that man would beat that case, he would have, if he would have killed all of them, he probably would have got away with it.
Funny, Michael Dunn isn't referred to as, he's not referred to as a killer either.
That's what I was saying.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. What is funny? What is funny is, have you guys seen that article about the high school prospect that got charged for rape in Florida? He had sex with a young lady. She got pregnant. She was a minor. Now, she really was a minor, and it was statutory. But what's interesting is he hasn't been convicted or anything, and I saw a couple of articles listing him as a rapist. He's a black man.
Wow.
Louisville Cardinals football team. He was going to be recruited. So that's real interesting when you say those guys aren't labeled. But then I look at this young man who hasn't even been to court, and he's already been labeled.
Wow. Well, gentlemen, we're down to the conclusion of the show. As usual, you guys have been intriguing and wonderful conversationalists. So I want to say thank you once again for your continued support and for all your contributions, both on and off the air, for being activists in your own right, for constantly being aware. Al Tariq, you post minute by minute. And, you know, there's always things that, you know, we get to learn from people who are out there doing the research. Some of us are good at research. Some of us are good at reading the research and talking about it. You know, some of us are just good at things that other people aren't, which makes us a team of different pieces for one big picture. So I want to thank all of you for that. I want to thank our now 22,357 listeners that are out there, up from 257 yesterday, I believe. So 100 new people just like that. I want to thank all of the social media groups, my team. I want to thank all of you that have been posting me on the social media and on the inboxes, those of you who have been telling me how the Spread Your Wings Showcase is working, thank you all very much for that. So my final words is this. Leave the man alone. Let him be a man. Let him be a ball player. Let him be referred to as Jason Collins or the NBA player or a Brooklyn Net. But openly gay is no longer needed or effective. The big shock is over. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Yeah. And to you, Jason Collins, kudos. For whichever which way this angle was played, you are somebody who should be commended, and you are your stats speak for itself. So to the rest of you, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Join me here Friday night. Haven't figured out what I'm going to speak about yet, but you guys know it'll come up. So in the meantime, you guys go out there, continue to do what you do. Let's continue to be this Lincoln Village to raise our children, to give our children a better future. And until then, God bless you all.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Blessings to all.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.